This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump said to be demanding that his own Justice Department pay him $230 million taxpayer dollars because of investigations he was at the center of following his first administration, one involving allegations of Russian meddling in the 2016 election and the other of the mishandling of classified documents. The much-touted summit between President Trump and Russian President Putin now scrapped. ABC's Patrick Reval says it was supposed to have been held in Hungary.
In the space of the time since the second summit in Budapest was announced, we've basically seen that the Russians have indicated they haven't changed their demands at all. Nothing has changed, and therefore there would be no point in meeting.
Historic preservationists say the White House needs to press pause on East Wing demolition and new ballroom construction so that the legally mandated public comments phase can take place. This is day 22 of the government shutdown. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. It's National Childhood Lead Poisoning Prevention Week. Lead can have adverse effects on childhood development. Here's more with Lisa Hale of Civic Media.
This week is National Childhood Lead Poisoning Prevention Week, dedicated to educating people about the dangers of lead poisoning, especially in small, developing children.
Lead poisoning does affect children more than adults, particularly children under 6 years of age, because their brain is developing very quickly and it can affect their brain and nervous system.
That's Winnebago County Public Health Nurse Jane Tebon.
So lead poisoning is considered an invisible disease. You don't know your child has lead. But what it can do is, again, it can hurt their brain and nervous system. And they may not show any symptoms at all, but it affects them maybe years down the road when they're in school and they have trouble focusing, learning. And that's when maybe you see some signs of the history of lead poisoning.
Children should be tested for lead exposure at 12 months and 24 months. And anyone with a home built before 1978 should have a lead risk assessment done by their local county public health office. For Civic Media, I'm Lisa Hale.
Gas prices in Wisconsin continue to trend downwards. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Gas prices fell 6.7 cents over the last week for an average across the state of 2.61. This is over 28 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and more than 32 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. Notably, the national average has fallen below $3 per gallon for the first time since 2020. Officials at GasBuddy say COVID was the primary driver of low prices at that time. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at GasBuddy, said OPEC Plus deserves much of the credit for the current trend of lower prices. They've steadily raised oil production for much of 2025. Barring any major disruptions, gas prices are likely to stay under $3 for much of the next few months.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Packers prepare for Pittsburgh. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, it's the Packers and the Steelers this week on Sunday Night Football. But head coach Matt LaFleur reminding us they're playing the Steelers, not Aaron Rodgers.
We're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, who happen to have Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's as simple as that. That is for you guys to talk about. We've got a lot of respect and love for Aaron. I mean, what he's done here is a Hall of Famer. This game is not about that. It's about going to Pittsburgh, Sunday Night Football. Our guys will be jacked up. It's about the Green Bay Packers versus the Pittsburgh Steelers.
NBA, it's the Bucks against the Wizards tonight in Milwaukee and the debut of Miles Turner and what role he'll play on the Bucks this season.
As a center, you know, as an anchor in the back part of the defense, it's like, what you're supposed to do? The feedback has been phenomenal. It's like, you know, you're right. I don't even realize when I'm doing it. They're saying, yo, we need more of that. You know, it's not something we've had, you know, consistently in the past. Like, we need a voice. We need someone to always, like, step up and speak. So I'm just taking it on.
That's the Bucks' Miles Turner with Sports on Mike Clemens.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll have stubborn clouds around the area for today. Breezy northwest winds to 25 and 30 miles per hour. Highs of the upper 40s to near 50. Tonight, a frost advisory in effect. Skies turning partly cloudy, lows in the lower 30s. Currently 46 degrees.
This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. From Indiana University canceling its school newspaper to northern Wisconsin being served by high school students, we'll discuss it with Pat Kreitler and Trigg Olson. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Craig Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up for the last half an hour of the show for Audio Sorbet, where we take a break, get away from the news, take a breath, so we all don't crack up. Today's Audio Sorbet question, what movie should never have been made?
Yeah.
It just was a mistake. Why did you do that to us? What movie should never have been made? And we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Bear With Me Now edition. Stay tuned for that. Right now we are joined by our friend and colleague and host of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. Dr. Kristen Lierley is here. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, good. Uh-huh. We are glad to see you. This just kind of really jumped out last week. I know we did talk to you about sperm last week. We're going to get back to that in just a second. But Dr. Oz, of course, part of the Trump administration, has a comment about Americans and our family size. Calvin, let's play that clip from Dr. Oz and what the problem is in the United States.
But it turns out that it's about one in three families, a much higher number, that don't have the number of babies they desire. They're under-babied.
They're under-babied, Dr. Lierley. Under-babied.
Not location-wise. They're not located under a baby.
Are they located in the placenta? Where are they?
don't come to me with that medical talk, doctor.
Which, by the way, there's a reason she says that. Bob Kennedy Jr.
Oh, boy. Oh, God. Okay, one crazy person at a time.
He said that women are taking Tylenol with the baby in their placentas. That's not where the baby is.
I think he said gobbling Tylenol. And the placenta is like, you know, it's part of the complex. But
it's part of the structure.
It's part of the baby arena.
Why do Republicans know so little about what actually they're so interested, yet they know so little?
It's amazing.
Because it gets them elected. The question I have for you, and I asked this question a while ago, and you laid it out, because when he says under-babied, I actually hear what he's trying to say, because you laid it out very clearly months ago for me, because I just wanted to know. In this country, we do actually have a childbirth, I don't want to say crisis, but there aren't enough children being born
to replace the people who are dying.
Exactly. You said that's a thing, and I didn't think it was, and you are a doctor, so please be our Dr. Oz whisperer.
I don't think it's a doctor thing. I think it's an economic thing. Yeah. We have an aging population that is large, and we are not having enough babies to be able to go into the future workforce and grow the economy to support our aging population. But I mean, here's my disclaimer. I myself have four children. We should have as many babies as we want, but we should be supported in having those babies, not just in getting pregnant, but in having a safe pregnancy, delivering these babies in a safe place, being able to raise and grow a family, being able to send our kids to college. There's so much more to it than actually just like fertilizing an egg and saying, go.
Well, I think it's important considering you are an actual OBGYN. So you see pregnant people like literally face to face. You actually talk and deal with pregnant people. So you must hear about people's situations and what kind of situations they're in. And economics plays a big part in whether or not you choose to expand your family, doesn't it?
It's huge. Even when I talk to my own kids who are young adults, they can't even imagine what it would like be like to buy a house, much less have a kid. Do you know how expensive it is to raise a kid in this day and age? Even if you're putting them in public school, which is getting less and less desirable these days, even if you're not thinking about saving for college because maybe they're going to take a different path, when you're looking at what it costs just to feed and diaper them, you can't do it. That's why we have the Milwaukee Diaper Mission. That's why food banks are bursting at the seams with people who need help. We do not have a society that is welcoming, that is actually encouraging people to have more babies. So, hey, Dr. Oz, you can do something about this. You are part of this administration. If you want people to have more babies, create a better society for us.
And I want to make something also clear about this. When you talk about things like the Milwaukee Diaper Mission and food pantries, which are all wonderful. Mike, Milwaukee Diaper Mission is all over my Instagram with all the wonderful things they are doing.
Yep.
But I also want to dispel this thought because I don't know about the two of you, but I was raised of this notion of if you go to a place like the Milwaukee Diaper Mission or a food bank, you are poor. And it's not just people who can't afford it. It's regular folks who have decent jobs who have a home and children who need to utilize these services out there because they are having a tough time in this economy too. I mean, when gas prices rise 30 plus cents overnight, this is a problem that affects everyone, not just the poor and the meek and the unwilling and whatever else you want to paint them as. These are all folks who fall in that working middle class, blue collar, working poor,
right,
who are utilizing these services. And yeah, you see the problem right in front of you, Dr. Oz, and not Dr. Kennedy and President Trump and Mike Johnson, but you choose to do nothing about it. Instead, you point fingers and say, well, just have babies and just you're fine.
Yeah. And they say the craziest things. And it's not just nationally. It's what's happening here in the state. I mean, Jane, I know you wanted to talk about this new legislation that has recently been introduced that provides exemptions to the abortion bans here in Wisconsin. And it is just crazy to me that a childcare provider and a career politician from the North Woods want to define the kind of healthcare that you can get. And the sentence that really, really brought it home for me was, so this is a representative who's close to me in Northeast Wisconsin. They're literally trying to define, like, it wouldn't apply to a molar pregnancy. It wouldn't apply to this kind of pregnancy. And here's the quote. She said she would also be open to discussing amendments, which would include exemptions for abortions performed because of other medical complications like preeclampsia or maternal sepsis. Are you kidding me? You would need to get an exemption if you are dying from a blood infection that has the potential to not just, I mean, it could kill you, but it also could permanently maim you if you don't actually get to the point of, it is unbelievable to me that these politicians want to interfere, want to micromanage our lives in these such unreasonable ways.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Aaron Air, we're speaking with Dr. Kristen Lierley, who is the host of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show right here on Civic Media's on Saturday and Sunday. Remind me the time. It's noon, right?
It's noon.
You can check it out every single weekend or download it from the Civic Media app or civicmedia.us, the website. But I'm sorry to say this, but yeah, that doesn't surprise me when I see states like Texas who are just saying, well, let's just see what happens. I mean, if she lives, she lives. But it doesn't matter. It's the baby. It's always about the baby. So if she's going through the worst pain, the worst problems, she could be maimed, dismembered, or die. If that baby lives, it's all worth it to them because that's the end goal, period. The baby being born. What happens to the baby after they're born?
Well, that's not our problem.
It is not the problem of the government. You know, that small government they always want to do. It's just about making sure the baby is born. As long as that happens, it's a victory.
We know what happens. Texas is the canary in the coal mine because they had SB8 before we had Dobbs. So we've got almost a year of data that precedes what happened across the rest of the country. Women die.
Yes.
That's what happens.
Yes.
Their maternal mortality rate, the number of women dying associated with their pregnancy, more than doubled. And it became incredibly hard for my colleagues to take care of their patients because before they could actually provide care, they have to talk to an attorney. Is that the kind of health care that you want? If I am thinking about what the options are for my patients and I know what I have to do and I know that I don't have time, do you really want me to have to stop and talk to an attorney before I can take care of you? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is our guest on Matt Nair on Air. She is the host of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show across the network on Saturday and Sunday at noon. PJ texting in on the live stream says, the cost to have and raise a child to age 18 in Wisconsin is about $220,000, according to recent estimates. That even seems a little low.
That feels low to me. Right? As the mom of four kids, that feels low to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We even did cloth diapers when the kids were little because we were trying to. Yeah, I know, right? We were trying to cut corners because diapers are so, so expensive, even though we are the diaper capital of the world here in Wisconsin. So expensive.
Well, people forget, again, I don't have kids, you know, and when my friend Kristen had her baby, they go through like 20 diapers, little one. They go through 20 diapers a day. Easy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then you add the food and then you add the daycare. Oh, my gosh, daycare in this state. It's everything. I can't imagine what it would be like to be a young person.
And God forbid,
right now.
And God forbid a trip to the hospital. That is the problem, too. It doesn't matter if we're talking about parents. It doesn't matter if we're talking about individuals. It doesn't matter the age. It doesn't matter anything. Well, unless you're rich and you can afford it. But you can live a completely normal life, working your job, paying your taxes, just being a regular folk. At a hospital visit
one,
in there,
yep, one,
and that's
one
it.
Medical emergency.
That's the game. Yep. That is the game to a lifetime of payment or bankruptcy, and that is this country. And if that happens with a baby, you have to, on top of the stress of your child going to the hospital, then you talk about the cost. I mean, this is, again, we have leaders in Washington who could just do, I mean, some of the most bare minimum things, and they're refusing to do it. And then tell us to our faces, we're wrong for even asking.
You said the key word, bankruptcy. The number one reason people go bankrupt in this country is because they have a health condition that they can't afford.
Mm-hmm.
And we know within the next week or so, we're going to start seeing our re-ups for insurance, and we know our premiums are going up. So if you don't believe what I'm saying right now, just wait a week.
Yeah.
You'll see it for yourself. I think a lot of us need to see this. It actually needs to impact us. We have to feel the consequences in order to really believe what's happening. And, you know, I think that the Trump administration thought that they were being very clever when they passed HR1 by delaying a lot of these things until after the midterms. But insurance companies and hospitals have to plan. So these things are starting to hit us. They're starting to be very real. And it's about to become very painful for a lot of people.
Before you joined us last hour, we talked about Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, who said essentially, I don't think these premium hikes are going to be a gut punch. It's not a big thing. Ron Johnson's worth $66 million.
$78.5.
Oh, sorry. I undervalued you, Rojo. My bad. We're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Kristen Lierley on the other side. If you have any questions, if you'd like to join the conversation, it's very easy to do so.
Tell us what you're seeing as far as your premiums if you're on the ACA. And also, we said earlier in the show, tell us about the decisions you're going to have to make about what you can afford. Because if you got to pay for your premiums, maybe something else has to be sacrificed. We want to hear from you.
855-752-4842. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
What else to do about it?
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
If you've ever found yourself driving down a quiet back road and thought, this feels special, you might be on one of our estate's rustic roads.
The program was created by the legislature back in 1973. It's really a unique local-state partnership.
Officials wanted people by car, bike, motorcycle, or even on foot to enjoy the natural beauty. The first rustic road designated in Taylor County 50 years ago this month.
There's 124 roads that have been designated rustic roads in Wisconsin in 62 different counties, and it spans over 784 miles.
Each rustic road is unique, rolling past farmland through forests or covering rugged terrain. And the speed limit tops out at 45 miles an hour, sometimes even slower. It's not about getting anywhere fast. This slice of Wisconsin reveals sometimes the best part of the journey is the road itself. I'm Terry Baugh.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Cal Zone on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Join Pete Schwabe for Nightlight between 6 and 8 p.m. across the network. He's going to speak with Craig Benzine about the new movie No Packers, No Life.
Yeah.
Currently screening in Milwaukee and a few other spots around Wisconsin. It's a big film. Lots of buzz about this movie. Mm-hmm. So join Pete tonight talking with Craig Benzine about the new movie No Packers, No Life that's coming up at 6:35. Our guest right now, friend, colleague, host of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show weekends at noon on Civic Media. Dr. Kristen Lierley is here. I did want to spend just a little time and go back to this. The new Republican measure in Wisconsin will exempt certain life-saving procedures from falling under the definition of abortion. They just have problems with words, right?
That's a great way to put it.
They do. They have problems with accurate definitions, and they are trying to take procedures which fall under the umbrella of abortion. That is the medical term. And they need to change those words to make it more palatable.
That's what they're trying to do. But let's remember, these are the same folks who have introduced legislation, not here in Wisconsin, but in other states, where you would have to take an ectopic pregnancy, a pregnancy that implants outside of the uterus, and move it into the uterus instead of actually treating this condition that kills women every single day in this country. These people do not understand how it works.
You cannot implant an ectopic pregnancy.
It's
not possible.
I promise you, I'm not trying to be funny, but when I think of an ectopic pregnancy, which, by the way, this show taught me what it was. Talking to you, Dr. Lyerly, taught me what that was. But when I hear about someone saying, well, we will take the baby and put it back where it needs to be, I think of movies in where there are hospital scenes and go into the body and they pull a bullet out, but they use the cameras. They think they're going to be able to do that. Go in there, use a screen, find the baby and plant it back into where it is. And that's not, I'm not a doctor and I know that's not how it works.
That was another one. They wanted to introduce legislation. They did introduce legislation that somebody would swallow a camera that would then end up in the uterus.
Yes.
Like, nope, that's not how it works. That's not where it goes, buddy. Like the actual common sense stuff, the things that they say, the things that they introduce are not consistent with medicine. You cannot get your medical advice from a politician, whether we're talking about reproductive health care or preventive health care or cardiovascular care for your heart. None of this stuff. And a great example is this fertilization business. They want to define life beginning at fertilization. Great. If that's where your ideology is, great. But recognize that fertilization means that a sperm and an egg come together. That's a fertilized egg right there. It doesn't happen in the uterus usually. It happens in a tube. And about 50% of those fertilized eggs just never implant. They just fall
they
out
just
of
disappear.
Your
body. Right.
So if you have defined life at fertilization, what happens when it leaves your body and it doesn't become something? Is that a crime that you can prosecute? It seemingly so.
Well, there's two questions I have on this because this one blows my mind. One, you've said in the past, there's no definite time when the egg gets, like, you cannot clock that. You can't say Tuesday.
A light doesn't go off.
Fertilized. Well, if you swallow a camera, you can watch it then see what happens.
There you go.
Poof. Or if you do IVF, you know when fertilization happens. That is true.
But then doesn't that, from a legal standpoint, redefine the definition of life as far as, okay, I am 47 years old and 10 months. Doesn't that mean if that all comes to pass, I am now 48 years old? Like, that changes how old you are. And again, not trying to be funny. Really, if you say life begins at conception, that means that when you are born, if it is a healthy, quote unquote, normal pregnancy, you are 9 months old when you are born. And that is the law as some of these people want to make it. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. And we need a consistent definition that is based in evidence and reality, not ideology. So if you're Jewish, then life doesn't begin until you take your first breath. Yes. So then do we have different ages based on what faith we aspire to belong to? You know, like we have to take the ideology out of it because we all have different belief sets. Mm-hmm. We have to root this law in law, in fact, in reality, not in this magical ideology that these, you know, so-called Christians have created in this kind of legislation.
And I want to go back to something that you said, a Republican male lawmaker, and this is on video, you can Google for it, suggested that women swallow a small camera to find out what's going on in her uterus. Unfortunately, they don't connect.
You mean throat,
in the body?
Throat that's bone kind of connected to the uterus bone?
Yeah, no, it does, there's no pathway there that doesn't line
then
up
let
like
us
that.
Ask Dr. Joel Kitchens, who is a sitting Wisconsin rep, who is a veterinarian.
He knows
more about birthing than anyone else because he is a veterinarian. I really wish you too would give these men the respect they deserve for actually trying to provide solutions.
He knows mammals.
Listen,
mammals.
If you want to swallow a camera, you're going to get a great look at your colon. So that
Where's
is maybe
the
what they're going for, to see, you know, what's in there. That seems to be what they're focused on.
Yeah. Join Dr. Kristen Lyerly across the network Saturdays and Sundays at noon. We love having you on the show. Thank you so very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, my friend.
News is coming up next. And then audio sorbet. What movie should never have been made? 855-752-4842. Join us. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. If you're a utility customer behind on your bill, the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin is encouraging you to catch up now. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
The moratorium period begins November 1st and runs through April 15th. During that time, utilities are prohibited from disconnecting utility service for non-payment when it's used for home heating. If you're currently disconnected, however, you must make arrangements to restore service before the moratorium begins. Utilities are not required to reconnect service until payment arrangements have been made. You can make arrangements directly with your provider or apply for financial assistance. You can find more information and links at energyandhousing.wi.gov.
A familiar name has entered the race for Attorney General. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tome Olson.
Attorney General Josh Call already announced he's running to keep his seat after speculation he might throw his hat in the ring to become governor. Now, Eric Toney has joined the race. In 2022, he was the GOP nominee for Attorney General. Toney has been the district attorney for Fond du Lac County since 2012. He was also the former president of the Wisconsin District Attorneys Association. Toney says his top priorities include addressing the fentanyl crisis, changing crime lab practices, and targeting violent crime in Milwaukee. When Call and Toney ran against one another in 2022, it was a close race. Call won with a 1.3% margin. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
Are you interested in serving on a city committee? La Crosse's city government is currently looking for volunteers to serve on 8 different committees and boards, including the Redevelopment Authority, Police and Fire Commission, Neighborhood Revitalization Commission, Floodplain Advisory Committee, Housing Authority, Building and Housing Appeals Board, Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee, and Room Tax Commission. If you're interested, you can fill out an application on the City of La Crosse website. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Coleman Domingo has become one of the most respected and in-demand actors in Hollywood. Variety is reporting that the Oscar-nominated actor will join the cast of Wicked for Good. That's the sequel to the 2025 smash hit starring Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande. Domingo will provide the voice for the Cowardly Lion. Coleman was nominated for an Academy Award in the Best Actor category for his role in Sing Sing, a film about how prisoners in a high-security facility learn the art of acting. His other credits include Lincoln, The Color Purple, and he will appear in the upcoming big-budget films The Running Man and in the film Michael about Michael Jackson, where he will play Jackson's father, Joe Jackson. Wicked for Good comes out November 21st of 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 1490 WLCX.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll have stubborn clouds around the area for today. Breezy northwest winds to 25 at 30 miles per hour. Highs in the upper 40s to near 50. Tonight, a frost advisory in effect. Skies turning partly cloudy. Lows in the lower 30s. Currently 46 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Conrad has restless leg syndrome where it's hard to control your leg. And you got to be careful. There's a lot of expensive stuff around this studio. What broke over there just now?
A couple speakers.
They just redid the studio. We'll be dealing with... Oh,
sorry.
This is a serious thing. All right, what are we going to do here?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, we'll talk to Sean O'Malley about your money and the markets and how the State of Wisconsin Investment Board made a killing off of crypto, then wisely got out.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calvi on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text or leave a voice note.
You can leave a voice note even if you don't like us.
855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Todd Alba coming up later on this afternoon, 2 to 4 across the network. He will be joined at the top of the show with Pat Kreitlow and Trigby Olson. And then in the 3 o'clock hour, it is a Showers, old and young edition of What's Worse.
I don't know what to do with that.
It's intriguing.
But I will say this. We're still within the time frame where it's perfectly okay to text, call, or leave a voice note to tell Todd Alba happy birthday. His birthday was yesterday.
It was yesterday, yes.
And you feel free to wish him a happy birthday on his show from 2 to 4 on
Absolutely.
The Civic Media Radio Network.
Yep. 855-752-4842. So today, this is Audio Sorbet.
Yes, Audio Sorbet.
Where we lighten things up, mm-hmm. get away from the news, yes. talk about something else for a change so we can all take a breath. We were talking before the show, Calvin. You had found that Netflix is going to be making a show about something that they should not be making a show about. Can you explain that, please?
Yeah, I found this article. Netflix has acquired the rights, the film and TV rights to the Settlers of Catan board game.
They're going to make a movie about a board game.
Mm-hmm. Apparently. And yeah, it's very, I'm not sure. The game doesn't have a narrative. It doesn't have characters. The object of the game is you have resources on the map and you roll dice to earn those resources and you spend the resources to build cities and villages.
Okay.
So I'm not sure where a movie is coming into this.
Wow, that sounds like a stretch.
Yeah.
But that got us talking about Don't make this movie. And it started us talking about movies that never should have been made.
Yeah.
So that is our Audio Sorbet question today. What movie should never have been made? 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC.
Yeah, this one, I mean, so I don't know. I know the name Settlers of Catan, and I know how popular it is. And if Calvin says that it doesn't make sense to make a movie, that actually, if Calvin, who you've played that game, correct?
Yes, I actually own it.
There you go. Calvin, who has played that game, can say with full confidence he doesn't understand why it should be made. That, to me, says that reason is exactly why they will make it, because they see it as a fun challenge.
Oh, it's a challenge.
Yeah. And this is not the first game to be turned into a movie. May I remind you of the mid-teens, 2000-teens movie Battleship?
Oh, I've completely forgot about
that. They made a movie based on that's not even a board game.
That we played as kids.
Exactly.
You try to sink other people's battleships.
It was all about warfare and destroying your enemies. You know, America. And if you were really rich, you had electronic battleship.
Oh.
But yeah, this is not out of the wheelhouse of Hollywood, but again, I just think of these boardrooms where these people who are wearing suits that cost more than my car payment times 5 are saying, "You know what we should do?
That's a great idea."
And then you have to listen to them talk in business speak about it. They're like, you know, our internal numbers have shown that a high engagement rate with players right. with maximum
right.
engagement reachage and touch the people with their, and then when it fails, you're like, yeah, we told you not to do this.
Yeah, we told you this was a bad idea. What movie should never have been made? That is our Audio Sorbet topic for today. 855-752-4842. Roger from Stevens Point texted in early, almost all of Elvis Presley's movies after 1963 should never have been made. You're not wrong.
Everything before 1963 was just Academy Award-winning art.
Well, he did have...
Yeah, there it is.
There was a good movie.
Really?
Name it.
What's
the name of that? I'll have to look it
and
up.
And we're moving on. Do you have a Jane? What is a movie off the top of your head where it's not even it's not even the fact that like you don't like it, because there are a lot of movies that I don't like that I understand why they're made. Like, they make a lot of money. Other people love them.
Right.
But what's a movie that just befuddles your brain where you're like, why did you do this one?
Sex in the City.
Which movie? The first or second?
All of them.
The entire thing?
All the Sex in the City movies.
All the, okay, both.
Why did you do that to me? Why? And okay. I took it very personally.
And here's a little fun fact with Jane. I don't disagree with you. I saw the Sex in the City sequel in the movie theaters in Chicago, and I along with everyone in the theater were upset. We were very mad at, like, this was insulting. This was like, hey, we have a budget, they'll get paid, let's just do some, well, that's not even, you don't even look like you're having fun. But here's the other thing about Jane is that new show that just stopped after
just like that,
the three seasons,
yeah.
You hated every minute of watching it.
No, I hate watched it.
You hate watched that show.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's the thing. And that's the other problem, too, is that it will provide for you a bitter memory of a thing you love. So, like, if you just would have Sex in the City, and I'll even give you the first movie for fun. You're like, yeah. And the movie was whatever. But then you get the second movie. Then you get the reboot. And now, it's like the last season of Game of Thrones where you're like, let's not talk about that. I personally feel like the new Tron movie that just came out.
They've remade Tron?
They did. Okay, so it's not a remake, and it's sort of a sequel, but they did a sequel back in 2010, and that was nearly 30 years after the first one came out. And that one didn't do so well. It's actually come back at people. It's garnered a reputation of being better than people remembered, but it didn't make a lot of money. So they're like, yeah, we're not going to do it. And then all of a sudden they said, we're making a third Tron movie. And almost everyone in the Tron community, I consider myself part of, were like,
no,
why?
Don't.
So you're going to, so you're going to continue the story from the 2010. Nope. New story. Oh, they come to the real world, but this movie's about being in the computer world. Who's going to be in it? Jared Leto. Why are we doing this?
What movie should never have been made? 855-752-4842 King Rat on the live stream says Open Water was terrible, and the Blair Witch Project was a terrible disappointment at the end. King Rat also says by the end of Open Water, I was cheering for the Sharks. And Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, also a terrible movie. Didn't fit into the franchise at all. Just a money grab.
Well, they felt like they had told the entire story, and they're like, let's make it. They wanted to keep the Halloween title going and say, we're going to make anthology films. So it's little vignette films in the holiday, a Halloween milieu. And people were like, where's Michael Myers? They're like, let's bring him back. So just to make horror fans mad, I will be like, Halloween 3 is the best one of all of them. You guys realize that, right? Just because I want to be contrarian.
Oh, just because you're being annoying.
Yeah, just because I'm being annoying.
What movie should never have been made? 855-752-4842. Brett from Brown Deer, The Fast and the Furious, all of them. No one is fighting crime by driving cars way too fast all day. I was an Uber driver in Milwaukee at night. I've seen enough of that driving to last a lifetime. I can't even imagine.
Well, and that was the thing, too, is the first Fast and Furious movie is about cars and car racing. And then you get into the later movies. It's like, we need to rob a bank in Rome. And they're somehow jumping their cars off of buildings onto other buildings. It is,
as one does,
ridiculous.
Completely true to life.
Yeah, exactly. It's more of a biography film series.
Right.
Think
it's
about
like
it.
An autobiography. 855-752-4842. What movie should never have been made? Ollie from the Northwoods joining us on the phone. Good morning, Ollie. What do you think about this?
Good morning. I actually, if you don't mind, would like to change the subject. Something you were talking about. You were talking about there's been a lot of articles out about the Republicans and ICE, etc.
We lost you there, Ollie. Sorry.
Oh, sorry about that, Ollie. Yeah. And we're kind of in the middle of audio sorbet right now. Ollie, you can always email us at janesays at civicmedia.com. Janesays at civicmedia.us is, sorry.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Yeah.
Janesays at civicmedia.us. If there's ever anything you would like us to talk about, something that you think that we missed or something that has jumped out at you, let us know about it. Just email us at janesays at civicmedia.us. Right now, though, we are in the midst of audio sorbet.
Yes, and the question is?
What movie should never have been made? What movie should never have been made? 855-752-4842.
Our guy Casper on the text line, Chris, our friend and colleague here at Civic Media, listening on WAUK, says Waterworld.
That was the one with Kevin Costner.
That was his first
bomb.
But it was post Dances with Wolves, where he could do no wrong. Like, that was like the biggest film ever. And he's like, what are you going to do next? He's like, I'm going to make $100 million movie about the oceans being the earth. And they're like, great.
Go forth.
But that's another movie that in the past 25, 30 years it's been out, it has garnered a cult classic, cult narrative towards, like, people really enjoy it. It just got lambasted in because it was, I think at the time, it was the most expensive movie that was ever made. And
that,
it just,
that opened itself up for a lot of criticism.
Absolutely,
then.
Absolutely.
Carmella in Milwaukee listening on WAUK. Return to the Blue Lagoon. They returned
yes.
to the Blue Lagoon?
Yeah.
Oh,
weren't they trying to get away from the Blue Lagoon?
Whoa. That is hilarious.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how bad that was.
Jay in Eau Claire listening on WCFW says most of the Friday the 13th movies. Yeah, I mean, a lot of those Hallmark horror genre
they tried to milk those franchises
yes.
way too long.
You watch the first Nightmare on Elm Street movie and Freddy Krueger is terrifying.
Yes.
By the final, like by the like the fourth, fifth, and sixth, he's literally cracking one-liner jokes the entire time. It's not even like it because if we were in the today world, Freddy Krueger would be the anti-hero good guy, because that's what we do with our villains in movies. They
right.
can't be villains. They have to
right.
be good guys. We sort of root for. Back then, they're like, well, we love him, but he's still a murderer. So let's just make him funny.
Great.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. What movie should never have been made? 855-752-4842. Penny texting in Ted and Ted 2. Oh, with the bear.
I understand. I like the first Ted. The second one is necessary. And the TV show is just miserable. It's just so bad. Kelvin, do you have a movie that you think is just not needed or it befuddles you?
I guess I haven't even seen it, but the one that comes to mind is the 2010 live-action movie, Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
It's a loved animated show mm-hmm. that is targeted around, like, 12 to 14 year olds
yeah.
and they decided to make a live action movie and it was just lambasted as awful.
Oh yeah. Well, and that's the thing I'll never understand too. They made a Three Stooges movie in 2012, a live action Three Stooges movie, and I don't know who needed to be fired after they did that.
By the way, happy birthday, Curly.
Yes,
Curly of the Three Stooges was
Boom.
Born today. We'll put a little bow on that. That wraps up Audio Sorbet. When we return, This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Bear With Me Now edition. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
30,000 Wisconsinites could be priced out of ACA insurance completely. Former Assistant Secretary for Commerce and Economic Development, Alejandra Castillo. What's the off-ramp here?
If you haven't called your member of Congress, you need to. The off-ramp can only be individuals like you and I calling our members of Congress and demanding that both the White House and Congress begin to negotiate a real solution.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
Eagle 1490. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Jam-packed show coming up tomorrow. Jim Santel joins us every Thursday after 9:30. He is the host of Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 across the network. A great show.
Oh,
you will
learn
so much. And there's a lot to cover with Jim Santel. I'm not even sure where we're going to start. We went on to talk about the U.S. blowing boats out of the water with apparently no evidence. But, you know, there's a lot of things to kick around with Jim Santel.
I think we should start with cocktails first. Let's start with a nice round of cocktails.
Let's start drinking. Exactly. Yes, let's start drinking. Can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning. Yes. Also tomorrow, Madeline Anderson and James Flores from the Milwaukee Public Museum will be joining us. They're going to do something special on the streets of Milwaukee for Halloween.
Mm-hmm. And James will be talking about the museum's Native American Heritage events. The Native American Heritage Month events, as well as the programming they will have. Great displays there right now. And go see them while you can, because they're currently building that new one.
They're going to be moving.
And it's coming along.
Yeah, it really is. Oh, it's moving along. Yeah. And Paul Noonan will be here from the Acme Packing Company to talk all things sports. So join us tomorrow, jam-packed show for you coming up. It is 10:54, Calvin. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you find a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says at civicmedia.us. JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. This actually does not fit under the umbrella of this shouldn't be a thing because we kind of love this.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have any place to put it, so we put it here. I'm just going to tell you that. Just being honest.
That's the kind of transparency we'd like to see in government, Jane Matinere, you bring into this
that's
show.
That's what you get on this program is transparency. This Calvin found from the Manhattan Times.
That doesn't sound made up.
No byline, unfortunately, but the headline reads, "Bear breaks into California zoo to play with other bears."
I love that.
How can you not love that? A young black bear caused quite a stir at Sequoia Park Zoo in Eureka, California, not by escaping.
No.
But by breaking in. Last week, a zoo worker found the wild bear standing curiously, nose pressed up against a fence of the zoo's resident black bears. What followed was a surprising and harmless encounter that left zoo staff and visitors both puzzled and amused. Zoo supervisor Christine Noel said the bear was very polite, stayed on the path, kept all four paws on the ground, didn't try to climb any barriers.
I'm just here to see my friends.
He was just spotted walking through a trail. And then he was seen interacting with the zoo's three resident bears through the fence. Once staff realized the bear wasn't theirs, it's like, how many bears do we have? One, two, three. That would be four.
You have four now. You have four bears
now. We have an extra bear. Once staff realized the bear was not theirs, they started emergency protocols. One employee radioed, "Is this a drill?" No, there we have a loose bear. Oh. Not every day they help with crowd control for a bear who doesn't understand, stay behind the railings. Because he was right up against the fence so he could talk to his friends. Thankfully, the wild bear never came into contact with visitors. They believe it's a young bear about 1.5 years old. Calm, curious, going nose to nose with other bears in what appeared to be polite introductions.
Okay, a few things here. If the bear didn't get to stay there, that's the thing that shouldn't be. This bear should be living there now. Yes, they can. It's fine. They're experts. They'll know what to do. It's a baby bear. And also, it's stories like this that make me want to go pet bears. I'm sorry.
Don't pet bears.
I'm not going to. But when you hear about cute little bears with their nose pressed, you're like, I just want to be friends with them.
Aren't they adorable? They don't bear. Want to, they don't want to be friends with you. After playing with some of their toys, a wildlife warden gently guided the bear back into the nearby forest. They're still trying to figure out how it got over the perimeter fence, which is topped with barbed wire. They think he may have climbed a tree and then dropped in accidentally and then found himself on the wrong side of the fence.
I really blame my dog. I don't think I'd have these kind of feelings for the stories like this if I didn't have a dog. Because now I'm just thinking of a tiny little bear being all cute. Like, I just want to play with my friend. Oh, my God. Okay.
Everything happened. Everything wrapped up well.
Yep.
Everybody was fine.
Good.
Online, locals speculated about the bear's motives, suggesting it was looking for snacks, friends, possibly to be a bear ambassador or ambassador.
Thank you. I'm like, she's not going to pass that up. She's not going to pass that up at all. Oh, that's a good story.
And we love it.
Oh,
we're kind of pro bears visiting bears.
Oh, yes. And come on back to there. Supervised visits. I don't know. I just want this bear to be part of their lives now.
He can come back.
Yeah.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic, because without all of you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and listening and watching on the live stream. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today. And you get the chance to share it. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman, then Todd Alba, 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6, Pete Schwabba, 6 to 8, Native Roots Radio, Robert Pilot, and more. Mm-hmm. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The National Trust for Historic Preservation is asking the Trump administration to stop destruction of the White House East Wing, which is being torn down to make room for President Trump's ballroom. The preservation says a legally required public review process on the project was never held. A second Trump-Putin summit on ending the war in Ukraine is now off. ABC's Mary Bruce has more from the White House.
It is just the latest example of Trump being courted by Putin, then painting a rosy picture of negotiations, only for Putin to pull back. And the timing here is critical. Putin floated this new summit the day before Ukrainian President Zelensky came here to the White House to ask President Trump for powerful Tomahawk missiles capable of striking deep inside Russia, which Putin obviously opposes. Zelensky then walking away empty-handed as Trump eyed this new Putin summit.
Overnight, Russia launched multiple drones and rockets into Ukraine, killing half a dozen people. This is ABC News.